It's good to be here with you all. Recognize a lot of people are out for the holiday that's happening tomorrow. Maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving Day. One of my favorite days of the year. You get to eat as much as you can without being judged. Well, maybe judged a little, but it doesn't matter to me. Alrighty. So we are in Proverbs. We're in the midst of studying chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs. On Sunday, I was filling in for Darren, so we were able to talk about the first 15 verses where we got to see the dangers of becoming surety for a friend or even for a stranger. We see the lesson that Solomon gives showing the ant and showing the work ethic of an ant and calling us to consider ourselves, make sure we're not being lazy, but rather we see that even in nature, we see an example of a creature that is making the most of the time that it's got. It doesn't fool around, it doesn't be lazy, it gets to work. And then we talked about the wicked man from verses 12 to 15, talking about a worthless person, a wicked man, with perversity of mouth, signals, using his full body for evil purposes. Perversity is in his heart. He sows discord. We talked about the calamity that befalls him. Now we're going to talk here in just a minute about six things the Lord hates. But first, as always, let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time, thanking you for another wonderful day of life on this earth. We thank you for bringing us all here together safe and sound amidst the time of travel and people being on the road. We thank you for bringing us all here tonight to be able to take this time to open your word and to study from it. We're thankful for all that you've revealed to us within the words of your scriptures. We thank you for giving us this means to be able to know you, to be able to know wisdom, to be able to know love, to be able to know salvation. We're thankful for everything that you've given us within these pages, Lord. And we pray that you be with us tonight as we go into the study. We're thankful for the wise things that Solomon has given unto us, and that you have inspired him to write, and that you have brought together these wise sayings that we can study them, we can apply them to our lives, that we can look into our own lives and see where we may be lacking and seek to amend that in your sight and to be better servants in your sight, to be wiser in your sight. Lord, we're thankful for the wisdom that comes from you, a more powerful and more holy wisdom than anything that we can find here on this earth. We pray that you open our hearts and our minds to the study, that we may be better by it, and that we get everything that we can out of these things, and that everything that we talk about tonight is true and according to your word, and that we understand it in the way that you would have us to understand it, and that we don't try to change the meaning, that we don't go in with preconceived notions, but that we look to see what you have to say. We're thankful for all those here tonight, but we're mindful of those that are unable to be here due to sickness. We pray that you bring comfort and healing to them, that you be with them and be at the hands and minister unto them. We pray that you be with those that are traveling at this time, especially during this holiday week. We pray that you guide them in safety, be with all those on the road, and bring them back to us home safely when the time is right. Lord, as we're here before you, we pray your forgiveness over our sins. Lord, we recognize that we fall short of your glory from time to time. We pray that you lift us up, that you forgive us of those things, that you strengthen us, that we may be better in your sight and better answer temptation or run from it if we need to. Go with us now through this study, and we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're in Proverbs 6. And we'll pick up verses 16 through 19 here. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. When there is something described as in Scripture as something that God hates, man, that's a strong word, isn't it? What do you think when you think that God, who is love, who teaches us how to love, hates something? Really, really bad. That's true. And as the scripture here says, they are even abominations to him. That is a severe word in its own right. And to look at a word like an abomination, it's described as a disgusting thing. Unclean. In some cases, even idolatrous. So as we see here, six things, or seven that the Lord hates. Six things the Lord hates, seven that are abominable to him. Those need to be taken seriously. So that we are not associated with those things in any way, shape, or form. And what are these things? First one is a proud look. Haughty eyes. I've read versions that say the same as well. Now, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm misremembering. But I think the guy on Sunday morning had something to do with that. No? I'm the preacher, but I'm the guy that told you a story on Sunday morning. Amen. I mean, if you want a demonstration, I have been told I'm a pretty good actor, so. Anyway, jokes aside, yes, we talked about Haman on Sunday morning, and you want to talk about a proud look. You think about what he did. He, first of all, when he first came into this position of power, he was going through the streets so that people could bow to him. Because the king, Ahasuerus, gave this command, you bow to this guy. I've put him in this position of power. He's done these things for me. Show him respect. Show him reverence. And he loved that, didn't he? He must have enjoyed every bit of that. And if you'll remember from chapter 6, when Ahasuerus was going to give Mordecai the glory for the things that he did, you remember what happened? Haman was coming in, and the king presented this question, what shall be done for the one in whom the king delights? And what's the first thing Haman thought? Who would the king delight to honor more than me? And so he got all extravagant. Get him on a horse. Give him the robe of the king. Parade him through the streets. Let all see this person. Let all know that this person is highly regarded by the king. Exactly. That man, I cannot think off the top of my head of a story that better embodies the idea of this proud look, these haughty eyes, you know. They see I think of haughty eyes, you know. They look at what can be done for them. They look at, this is what I see is done for this person in high regard or for this person in power. And that's why he said all those things. Let me hype up this idea of being paraded through the streets on horseback. That's a bad attitude. That's a worldly attitude. And a lot of people think that way today in this day and age. So a proud look, a lying tongue. That's the next thing that is mentioned here. We've talked about lying a little bit in the past. What is so bad about just tiny little fabrication of details? Pardon? No such thing. Okay. A lie is a lie. It doesn't matter how little white lies they are, or if you make your entire life a lie, it's all regarded as bad. Johnny.
Or
boy, here we go. All right, all right. We're getting... Here's the thing. Carla, the way I see that is if you truly love somebody, you're going to look past what other people might say as this, that, or the other. You're just going to see, yes, you look great. It doesn't matter what you look like. You could be dressed as an inflatable cow Halloween costume. If I'm looking at you, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's lying. No good comes from it. You know, it's like Johnny said, the softening of the blow. You can say the thing that needs to be said in a nice way. You don't have to lie about it, and you don't have to, you know, be overtly vicious to a person either. You know, and a lying tongue, they're going to use flattery. You know, going back to what Carla said, you know, they're going to make you sound perfect in order to, what did we talk about with the adulterous woman? They're going to use flattery to use you. Lying, empty praise. And then, of course, there's plenty of other situations where we can benefit from lying. You can lie on your resume. Make yourself look like you've had more experience. You can lie on your taxes. Get a better return because of this, that, or the other. Let me put this gas money that I spent on these days as travel expenses or work expenses or whatever have you. You can lie in your relationships. And more than just, do you look good or not? Or does this make me look fat? You can lie about everything in a relationship. You can lie about the love itself. You can lie about what you're doing behind their back. If lying is in the realm of, is in your realm of possibility, and it's going to benefit you, it looks easier to do. It doesn't benefit you for long. That's a good point, because it'll come back. People are out there, fact checkers. They're looking. They're going to see, this is a fake Facebook profile. They're going to see, okay, something doesn't seem right about this tax form. 30 years of experience, and he's only 19? That's true, Johnny. The point is, it's going to come back on you. And if you, like we said before, even if you get away with it all your life, you got to answer to God. Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is what usually you catch people in, is because, you know, well, I need all the work.
You're absolutely right. You know, that's one thing. Maintaining the lie. That's, you brought that out. It's just, I don't know how people could do it. Maintaining the lie. You're really making your whole life a lie when you do that. And it's not worth it. Not in any way, shape, or form. It's better to tell the hard truth and accept the hard truth than to lie to yourself and to lie to everyone around you. Absolutely right. And it's funny, you mentioned earlier how lying is just as bad as murdering somebody, which is pretty much the very next thing is said here. The next thing the Lord hates and finds is an abomination: hands that shed innocent blood. How much in our view, that's about as worse as it gets, is it not? You know, we can justify self-defense. We can justify an accident, war. But just shedding innocent blood? What is wrong with people sometimes? Abortion. That baby didn't do anything. Hang on. Now you got me searching. No. It's one where Jesus says, in regards to the little children, let them come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew something. Now, that's the thing. Flipping on the spot is just not my strong suit. Especially when it's just like, I know the what it says. 19:14. Matthew 19:14 says, Johnny. Matthew 19:14. Yep. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. You can't get more innocent than these little kids. And in the womb, they didn't do anything. If you didn't want this to happen, you should have not been doing what you were doing to get into this situation. And I know there's going to be the argument about being raped. That's a much harder situation, and I recognize that. Still, that little kid didn't ask to be made the way it was made. The only good thing about abortion is that at least they go right back to God. And, you know, you brought another thing into my mind. I saw a video today of police cam footage. And it's a road rage situation. This man opened fire on this vehicle. And he killed an 11-year-old child in the back seat because he was mad at somebody else for the way they were driving. It don't matter what somebody else... It don't matter what somebody else does on the road. That is not justifiable at all. And even he, the guy who did it, after he realized what he had done, he basically was like, this is what I did. And he's pretty much like this. Go ahead, cuff me, take me away. He knew he messed up big time. And that's an understatement. It's a scary world we live in sometimes. And it's scary to think that people want to take the lives of children. They want to take the lives of people who didn't really do anything wrong. You know, you get into a childish spat with somebody, it's not worth taking their life at all. They had their own life. They had their own family, their own thing that they were doing. And to what part in me gives me the right to think or to say, you don't deserve to live because of this, that, or the other? Johnny, do you have something? This world has become so far estranged from God, from these morals that we see here plainly. And, you know, like you said, I'll chalk it up to one word: hypocrisy. They say they value life. They say they want the best for society. And then, you know, you heard what Johnny said, that it is a terrible thing that they're doing out there. And you know, it's not just on a societal level. I was thinking, you know, as you were saying that, talking about the not valuing the lives of the children and the women, I've heard of stories, and I've heard multiple of the same story of different families that this has happened to, where the husband kills the children and the wife and then himself. It's scary what goes on in the people's minds. And to that point, the next thing the Lord Solomon says that the Lord hates is a heart that devises wicked plans. There's a serious heart issue when you start planning wickedness. You know, if you have an accident, that's one thing. You get a bad habit when you're young and you try to break it later on, but it's hard sometimes. That's another thing. But planning, devising, thinking about it, considering when is the best time to do X, that's scary to let that in your heart. And that's what leads to the things that we've talked about previously and pretty much anything else. You know, as teenagers, you're going through all kinds of hormonal changes and you're going through all kinds of other things. And as a teenager, you know, I've heard of teens killing teens. And I remember, like, there was a video game that was going around for a time about the Slender Man. And I forget where it was, but two girls murder their classmate because as like a worship ritual to this fictional video game character. They're being taught no and not why not. Old. Yeah, that's definitely a home issue right there if I've ever heard one. And yeah, you know, I was thinking they're being taught no instead of why not. There's a big issue there because if you're taught no, you're going to be learning rebellion and not why not, where you're going to be like, okay, this is going to cause me problems. And then some cases you still do it anyway, and then you find out firsthand, this is why we said why not. Yeah. Heart that devises wicked plans. Mm-hmm. You're right. If your heart's not right, you're going to be capable of any and all of these. Next thing is feet that are swift in running to evil. What impression does that give you? Mm-hmm. And you're excited about it too. When I think about running, I'm running to something. I want to get something. There's the last chocolate bar at the candy store. I'm running to the candy store. Give me that candy bar. That type of deal. I'm excited for it. Feet that are swift to running to evil. I'm excited to commit such wickedness that I have had planned in my heart. And I'm going to do whatever I want. Because it excites me, it thrills me. A lot of people, they want that thrill. People get their thrill from riding a roller coaster or going skydiving, parachuting. Some people get it from just doing bad things. That's right. He probably had all these plans. That was like, once I get that money, I'm going to make a name for myself. A false witness who speaks lies. Wait a minute. Didn't we just talk about a lying tongue like 6 minutes ago? That was more like 20 at this point, but anyway. Why? Okay. Let me rephrase the question. If something is mentioned twice in short sequence, what does that tell you about that thing? Really bad. You know, think about the previous things we talked about. The proudness, the hands shedding innocent blood, the heart devising wickedness, the feet that run swiftly to evil. You add lies on all top on top of all of that, you're going to be hiding every last bit of these things. You're going to deny every last one of these things that are absolutely true. You bear false witness and you speak lies. You say, nah, I ain't that guy. I would never do that. And in reality, what's ticking in here is wicked thoughts, evil desires, the lust for evil. Johnny. Exactly. And I also believe being a false witness will tie into the last thing that we're going to talk about. However, we are currently out of time. 6 out of 7 ain't bad. But appreciate y'all being here tonight. Y'all be safe throughout the rest of the week. We'll pick up with verse 19, and we'll consider one who sows discord among brethren next Wednesday. Thank you.